excited. I had an extra water. I didn't know it.
If everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing for a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk is going to read some announcements.
Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the public hearings. Roll call. Allen.
Here.
Bartels. Belfilio.
Here.
Berkey.
Here.
Briggs.
Present.
DeLon.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Fabiano, Gerentine,
yes.
Green, Hepner,
here.
Lapp,
here.
Litz,
here.
Lopez,
here.
Lauren,
here.
Mayo,
here.
Maloney,
here.
Parity John, Parity Richard, Roberts, Rodriguez,
present.
Ronk,
here.
And Waro.
Here.
17 present, 6 absent. Tonight, our first public hearing is on proposed Local Law Number 14 of 2016, a local law of the County of Ulster for the regulation of pet sellers.
Tonight, we're going to have 3 minutes per speaker. Please pay attention to the timekeeper in the back. At the end of the 3 minutes, if you could just, anything you have left, try and summarize it best you can. And I know that some folks came to speak about either of the public hearings we have tonight and missed the sign-in sheet on the way in. If you'd like to speak and you haven't signed up for one of the public hearings, please make your way at some point to the front of the room and we'll be able to get you on the list. And Vicki, how many speakers do we have?
There are 3 speakers signed up for the first hearing, and this first speaker is Paul Fowler.
Hello, Mr. Chairman, members of the legislature, guests. I'm Paul Fowler. I actually run the Fowler Advocacy. I'm having a little difficulty with this. But I've been involved with the SPCA for years. I myself, by the time I was 16, I raised 2 labs for the Guiding Eyes of the Blind. I've had everything from English Bulldogs to Sharpeys. Now, I think that where you're heading is a very good direction with this. This basically is turned into an industry, and there's too many. I've seen both sides of this, and a lot of what I've seen are what I consider unscrupulous, unconscientious breeders. A prime example is a young lady that just passed away, my friend's mom. Francis Rinaldo. Francis would do 1 litter of Shih Tzus a year, and she used them, and she did it right. She had all the vet records, everything. I mean, these animals were in top shape. She screened everybody that the animals went to, and in essence, she used it to supplement her Social Security. Now, what you're offering here is, you know, we're not looking for money. It's a free registration, and I think that what happens is a lot of these people that get involved in this, you know, this is a very lucrative business. A lot of these people do not, you know, it's a cash business. A lot of them don't record this, you know, they don't, you'll see no record of it on their taxes. That's not what I'm after. I'm not concerned about the money so much as what happens to these dogs. And I also know that I've spoken with Adam Saunders, that basically, you know, sometimes as many as 9 out of 10 phone calls that they receive for complaints on animals are what are considered nuisance calls. That's a problem. Now, what I see here is when you guys did your tether law, I noticed that you voted unanimously for that tether law, and it was less than maybe a month and a half, 2 months later that I saw in the newspapers that the Dutchess County Legislature was looking at adopting your law for their use. I think that if you do this, that basically the same exact thing is going to happen here. Mr. Chairman, members of the legislature, guests, thank you very much. I'm Paul Fowler, and thank you for hearing me out.
The second speaker is Cynthia Werthamer.
Mr. Chairman, members of the legislature, thank you. I simply want to respond by saying that conscientious dog breeding is not a lucrative business. It barely covers the bills. And it is something that is done out of love and respect for the animals and for an extremely, I don't want to use the word conscientious again, but an extremely researched, knowledgeable way of matching the right person with the right breed of dog. There are all sorts of unknowns when you get a dog from the kennel and from a pound. And sometimes they turn out terrific, and that's great, and that's what we encourage. And if you go to a conscientious breeder who has been doing this for generations, who knows exactly what the breed is, what the traits are, what the personalities are, you're really getting somebody along with the dog who knows that breed and that line. And we are resources for that person and for that dog for the rest of that dog's life. Thank you.
The last speaker signed up is Tom Delaney.
A little taller here. Okay. First, I would like to thank Chairman Ronk. As you all know, we were here a year ago, and maybe it was 15 months ago. Maybe it wasn't quite as pleasant an experience as hopefully what we're going to have tonight. And I look at Chairman Ronk and say that's largely his doing. He took the time to understand the concerns of the breeding community. People are trying to do a good job and trying to produce fabulous pets for their families and their households. And he's modified the bill substantially as a result of the discussions that have taken place. And I appreciate the time and effort that you've spent. So thank you very much. I'd also like to note at this point, just as a sideline, that the whole industry and the whole marketplace is changing. Right now, according to the American Veterinary Medical Association, only about 40% of the dogs in the United States are from breeders. And so the question ultimately becomes, where do the rest come from? And should we be looking at this law as a first step? Should we be looking at an expansion somewhere in the future? Maybe when it's time, when things settle down, figure out how to deal with this part, then step back and say, should we be expanding and looking at how do we worry about all the dogs, not just some of the dogs, and make sure they're cared for and raised properly. So if that happens and that day comes along, keep me in mind, be happy to help in crafting that and making that enhancement, and thank you very much for your time.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak on the pet sellers law? With that, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Second? All in favor?
Tonight's second public hearing is on proposed local law number 17 of 2016, a local law prohibiting cyberbullying in Ulster County.
And let the record reflect that there are now 18 members present.
Tonight we have 11 speakers signed up as of now, and the first speaker is Kristen Gumar.
Hello, Mr. Chairman, members of the legislature. My name is Kristen Gamir. I'm an assistant county attorney here in Ulster County. I prosecute, along with my partner, Mr. Fisher, juvenile delinquency cases for the county. We've had an opportunity, Mr. Fisher and I, to speak to many of you regarding this piece of proposed legislation already. But first, I wanted to tell you we haven't spoken to everyone, and I urge you to talk to us if you have any questions about anything that's going on. We know that some things have been circulating, letters, memos that contain inaccurate information, and we wanted to let you know that we're here to answer any questions that may have come up. Also, I wanted to ask you tonight to think about the purpose of this law. The reason behind this, the proposal of this, is to fill a gap between DASA and the current penal statutes. We're not looking to replace DASA or to replace or replicate any laws that are already on the books. This would be another tool that schools can use when they've already exhausted all of the options that they have. It's another resource for law enforcement to utilize when they're forced to tell scared parents, which they're told over and over again, we've heard in our office, there's nothing we can do. And it's a way for a parent to ease their own mind and to ease their child's scared mind when they've received so many bullying messages that they can't sleep, they're scared to leave their house, they're scared to go to school. What we can do once this legislation is in place is ask a court to issue an order of protection. So in our office, we prosecute juvenile delinquency matters. We see all kinds of cases from assaults, robberies, sometimes with weapons. You know, we have rapes going on in the county between children, everything from that to victims of bullying. And this 3 minutes goes by much faster than I realized. I just wanted, however, to highlight that while schools, law enforcement, they do a great job right now, right? But there are times when things fall into this gap, and it's no one's fault. We're just trying to fill it. We're trying to get help for the student who had nude photos sent around about them, but if it doesn't rise to the level of child pornography, then no one gets any education aside from the general education that goes to the whole school. However, sometimes the perpetrator needs additional private personal education. Sometimes the victim needs some services that are only provided if they're a victim of an actual criminal act. We're hoping to fill some of these gaps to get some more help for the perpetrators, to get some more help for the victims and the families, whereas right now, even if everyone uses all the resources we already have, sometimes it's just not enough. Thanks.
Dr. Robert Baer.
Members of the legislature, also thank you. My name is Bob Beyer. I happen to be a licensed psychologist. I've been in the practice of psychology for what depresses me when I remember it, 40 years at this point. Most all of it's been around kids in some fashion or form. And in the last almost 25, it's been in public ed. So I've seen kids do things to each other, as we all have, both as a parent and a professional, and some of the things they do are not nice. Some periodically rise to the level of what we all know to be really bad and or criminal behavior. The idea of bullying's been around. What we're talking about here is a brand new forum of bullying that didn't exist 15 years ago. And now, in some senses, very much feels in any school district, and maybe in every home, as though it's an epidemic. Lots of kids find themselves the object of other people's scorn, other people's, pure focus. And unfortunately, it comes focused in a negative sense. The state has a DASA law, Dignity for All Students Act. It was put in place in earnest back in 2013. All school districts have staff assigned. There are mechanisms already in the buildings to address complaints of bullying, whether it's cyber or any of the other type. And it does a really good job. I wrote a proposal, it's a position paper, in support of this law and looked at data from one of the school districts in Ulster, looked at a middle school and a high school. In the course of the last 3 years, the middle school has averaged about 25 of these type of complaints, if you will, and the high school's seen 40, 45 of these. In most instances, it's resolved inside the school, resolved in the sense that we can get to the perpetrator, get to the victim, work counseling, educational stuff, sometimes discipline, whatever's needed. And in most instances, it's resolved there. But in that district, there are 5 students currently placed out of the school district. They're not in their home district as a direct result of cyberbullying. And of those 5, 2 of them are the perpetrators and 3 of them are the victims. They were all the perpetrators, obviously, needed to get out of the district. We couldn't contain them, hold them in place, and the victims were so broken down they couldn't come back to school. The costs are extreme. That district's taxpayers will pay basically $500,000 extra for those placements. What I see this law as is, I'll borrow Kristen's term, it's a tool. It's not a tool we need for every kid. In those 5 students who are out, it really was 2 students who had moved to the level of being that, I hate to use the term, but it feels like it dangerous to the group that was there. So it would be something that a school would access after, and only for the exceptions in the mix. Thank you for your time.
Patty Griffiths. James Shaughnessy.
Try to get my 2.5 pages in 3 minutes. My name is James Shaughnessy, and I reside at 11 Delta Place in Kingston. I have been a trustee of the Kingston City School Board since May 2006. I am also a member of the Board of Directors of the Mental Health Association in Ulster County since September 2014, and a member of Ulster BOCES Board of Education since July 2015. I joined these additional boards so that I can contribute to finding ways for all agencies in Ulster County to develop coordinated approaches for protecting and improving the emotional health of our students. The following comments are my own and do not necessarily reflect the position of any of the boards on which I serve. I am acutely aware of the impact that emotional trauma has on the social and academic success of our students. We all agree that cyberbullying is a serious problem that causes emotional distress to many of our students and negatively impacts their lives both in and out of school. Proposed Local Law 17 premises that cyberbullying can originate outside the jurisdiction of the school and or maybe beyond a school's resources. To me, it fails to consider the authority and requirements of the New York State Dignity for All Students Act, which became law in 2010 and requires school districts to provide all students in public schools an environment free of discrimination and harassment, including bullying, taunting, or intimidation, including cyberbullying. DASA includes extensive requirements that public schools must follow and implement to accomplish that goal. DASA gives school districts jurisdiction over cyberbullying occurring through any form of electronic communication and behavior which occurs off school property and creates or would foreseeably create a risk of substantial disruption within the school environment where it is foreseeable that the conduct, threats, intimidation, or abuse might reach school property. If a student is the target of cyberbullying and doesn't feel safe in school or maybe even refuses to go to school, that is substantial disruption within the school environment. The legislature is correct in cyberbullying is a broad societal problem, but the county's response must coordinate and cooperate with public education in addressing the occurrences and consequences of cyberbullying. The county school superintendents were assured in January 2016, a short time after the proposed law was announced, that the county would consult with county school districts as consideration of this law went forward. I've been told by several superintendents that this has not happened. And that was accurate as of 3 o'clock this afternoon. I don't know that it's accurate now. School districts in Ulster County and around the state have devoted much time and effort in implementing the requirements of DASA and other initiatives to enhance the social and emotional health of our students. Perhaps it's true that solving the problem may be beyond the school's resources. It is also perhaps beyond the county's resources. Every effort should be made to have a coordinated approach to the problem, to leverage the assets that each governmental unit and private agency might bring to the solution. The county cannot take away the obligations that public school districts have under DASA. Failure to cooperate and coordinate may have unintended consequences. If there are competing jurisdictions to the same occurrence, it may result in a slower resolution rather than a faster resolution to the problem.
If you could try to wrap up your comments.
Two more sentences, or three more sentences. The solution needs to be cooperative rather than competitive or unaware of what others are doing. So I ask that the legislature delay approval of this proposed law and convene a dialogue with school districts and other agencies to better understand what gaps can be filled by county legislative action. Thank you. If I could have another minute, maybe. So, as I said, it's 3 o'clock, my comments were accurate as far as I know, but I have an email from Dr. Patalino, the superintendent of the Kingston City Schools, that he had a long conversation.
You can feel free to leave that, and I'll make sure that legislators get it if you'd like.
Okay.
Thank you.
Christina Kraus.
Hello, my name is Christina. I'm a concerned parent. There's a couple things that are concerns to me. Cyberbullying usually exists in conjunction with face-to-face bullying, and this is absolutely the domain of school administration. I think this law would have the unintended consequence of limiting effective measures and the discretion of school administration to address bullying by funneling cases through county courts. That would reinforce the school-to-prison pipeline. It does not hold accountable caregivers accountable, nor does it alter the effect of negative actions by victims. It further entrenches the judicial system as the primary means for handling juvenile interactions, when the day-to-day burden is the domain of those adults who have consistent and primary interaction with children. And study after study shows that imprisonment of juveniles significantly increases the chances of that child being incarcerated for the duration of their life. I would advocate that this law needs to be postponed and rewritten in conjunction with advocacy groups and school administration, as well as impartial policy analysts. Thank you very much.
Jeff Rindler.
Members of the legislature. My name is Jeff Rindler, and I'm the executive director of the Hudson Valley Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Community Center right here on Wall Street, and I'll speak tonight in favor of the law that prohibits bullying in Ulster County. Every week at the center, we get calls from concerned parents whose kids are being cyberbullied and they don't know what to do. Some have turned to the schools, and the schools have said because it's done online and on the web that it's out of their jurisdiction and they're not helpful. Not all schools. A recent study also has shown that 33% of students do not feel comfortable going to their teachers because they don't feel that the situation will be handled properly. This law can deter the vicious, hateful attacks that innocent children face every day. This law will hopefully have our kids think twice before they hit the send button. Our children need to understand not only the consequences of their behavior, but the consequences that it has on those they're bullying, which we know are greater depression, anxiety, self-hatred. Some kids are cutting themselves, and the worst tragedy, suicide. So there's been a lot of sensationalizing around how this law could ruin children's lives and that we have to protect them because they'll have a record. I received a lot of calls and had more conversations about those that are bullying than the victims. And someone even said to me, why should a kid have a record for a silly mistake? Well, let me just say this isn't silly, and harassing kids are no mistake. This law will not senselessly put anyone in jail, but look to rehabilitate through diversion services and community service, which is a piece that needs to be brought into this before it becomes law. I support that. Let's talk a little about ruining lives. The lives of our children who are being bullied. 60% of them are more likely to have missed a day of school in the last month. 35 say they have no interest in going to college, not to mention the countless higher rate of dropouts for those students. I'm trying to understand how the cyber bullies have become the victim in some of this conversation and not the kids that are being bullied. One piece that I don't want to lose sight of is we at the LGBTQ Community Center do cultural competency training to the LGBTQ community. What we'd like to do is be proactive and create a cyberbullying prevention training that we can offer to the schools. We currently work with all the schools in Ulster County, and the majority of them, and Dutchess, and Orange. Let's get this information into those that may be potentially bullied before they start bullying. So let's move ahead this law tonight and commit to protecting our children who are being victimized. Let's make this a place where they can educate and support those that are being bullies, and we can protect those that are being bullied. I may have said that backwards, but I think you all know what I mean. We can create an environment in the schools that are about education, community, and most importantly, tolerance and acceptance. Thank you.
Jessica Marsico.
To you. I'm sorry about that. Hello, everyone. So I'm Jess Marsico. I want to say first that I am a mom, one of those moms, actually, who contacted LGBTQ, very upset, and my daughter not wanting to go to school. So coming from that place, I want you all to know that I do not support this legislation in its current form. The first conversation in my mind should have been about parental responsibility, victim care, limiting or eliminating private, unmonitored access to the internet. That, if we don't have that, we don't have cyberbullying, and that is not a conversation that anyone is really having, and it is the core of this, as well as diversion for children at least up to 18 years old. Family of Woodstock provides it for people up to 21 years old. The last discussion, the last option should have been criminalization of children. And the reality is that the deleting of the jail sentence meant nothing. I really hope that everyone understands that. It references penal law sections subject to the penalties. It's simple. We should really just look it up. It indicates a term of imprisonment. For 16 and 17-year-olds, that means juvenile detention. And it's not mandatory. It's at the discretion of judges. But that is what it is. We know that there are no kids in Ulster County Jail. I've heard that one a lot. It's because they're in juvenile detention. And there is not a strict dichotomy between those who are treated cruelly and those who can be cruel. We need to remember that sometimes people lash out because they're hurt. And sometimes we make mistakes in how we figure out what the truth is with these very intertwined rumors and stories that are circulated by everyone. We can do better than this, and we have to do better than this. And we do need something. We need something. Clearly, this is a problem, but we need to do better. And I'm done. Thank you very, very much.
Chris Adel.
Hi, my name is Christopher Adel. I'm a student at SUNY New Paltz and a semi-parent to two kids. So I am not quite as charismatic as the director of the amazing LGBTQ organization here in Kingston, but I hope that charisma has nothing to do with your judgment. What this law is aiming to do is placing the burden of determining morality on the shoulders of children as young as ages 7 up to 16. Children under 15 years old could be detained, which would be a traumatic experience. Putting yourself in not only in a school where there are constantly police, having police come and take you to a detention center or police station or whatever it might be would affect your life in some way. To use terms that everybody here is familiar with, this would be widening the school-to-prison pipeline. This is taking power from parents and schools to do the jobs that they're supposed to be doing, teaching these kids how to interact with people, how to live their life, and giving it to the police. That is not the job of the police. The police are already overburdened, as are the family court systems, everybody in the family court system, which is what these kids will be entered into. I guess that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Kathy Nolan.
Good evening, everyone. I'm speaking tonight as a board-certified pediatrician with some specialized training in child development, and not for any environmental group. That I might represent on other occasions. I'm also a bioethicist, and I support this legislation. I think that there are existing tools, and we need additional tools. And we very much need to change the culture around bullying, and especially cyberbullying, just like we've had to change the culture around cigarette use. I worked at the Hastings Center. One of the first things that my colleague there said to me is, what do you think about such and such? And I said, well, this. He said, this is the Hastings Center. Tell me whether you think it's right or wrong. I think we have to absolutely tell children that cyberbullying is wrong. It is analogous to other moral questions that children deal with, and children are not allowed to do other things, like steal and hit people. It is probably true that cyberbullying, in many cases, is more harmful than a physical blow to the body. Yet we would never allow children to inflict physical blows to the body, in school or out of school. And the interventions that we have tried so far have been not enough. They are inadequate. So this is, I think, a necessary step. It's a sad step, but it's a necessary step to say how wrong this action is and how seriously the adults in the community take it. And if the law isn't exactly right this time, we'll rework it. But we need to have a tool now to deal with the extreme cases, and especially the extreme cases off school grounds, where it can be hard for the school's interventions to be effective. So I think, it's very difficult to intervene with a big cultural problem, but one of the ways you do that is to take a stand as a culture, and I think that's what this law does. Thank you.
John Wilson.
Hi, I'll try to go quick here. Hello, my name is John House Wilson. I'm a youth counselor with a decade of experience working with young people. I'm also a certified social studies instructor. I've worked in public and private schools. In my years of working with young people, I've watched cyberbullying become a major issue and have seen how it can damage teens, their families, and their mental health. As such, I appreciate the efforts of this body to address the issue of cyberbullying. Yet, I must express my opposition to the proposed legislation in its current form. First of all, the majority of young people I know and work with have had at least one experience in the last year where they and their friends have engaged in inappropriate, lewd, or offensive behavior online or through social media. Of course, we should not condone this behavior, but due to the fact that the proposed legislation relies on the intent of the accused adolescent, many or most of the people I work with, the young people, could be charged with cyberbullying and criminalized under the law. Intent is often hard to prove or understand with adults, but even harder with teens, who often simply don't know what they're doing. I believe that county sheriffs, family court judges, and others would struggle to understand the intent or motivation of teenagers, as the teens themselves often do not know why they do what they do, or critically, the impact of their actions. Further, how will enforcers of the law determine if messages, images, videos, or videos are bad jokes, threats, or compliments? I often struggle to understand the lingo, culture, and media usage of teens I work with, and would wager that many adults would struggle as well. Intent is a messy, messy business to build a law on. Secondly, young people in our community and across the country are struggling with a number of serious mental health issues, such as depression, severe anxiety, self-harm, and suicidal behavior. And research has demonstrated that those engaged in cyberbullying are often the ones struggling with these issues and others, such as divorce or abuse. This means this legislation could target young people with family and mental health issues and criminalize them and their actions. This would be acceptable if the legislation guaranteed these young people mediation, counseling, or training to avoid further incidents. This would at least allow these adolescents to get a chance to learn, grow, and become educated about the impacts of their actions. Instead, this legislation could lead adolescents onto a path of detention, court, and probation, things that could add stress and conflict to their lives as they struggle to survive their teenage years and familial conflict and mental health issues. Finally, it is my estimation and the estimation of many professionals that punishment and legal consequences rarely motivate people to become more compassionate or healthy people, our real goal. This is clearly demonstrated in our failed drug war, where arrests and incarceration rates soared and drug use continued unabated. Decades later, we're finally confronting the fact that only counseling, education, rehabilitation, and social justice can help create healthier people, and that compassion is the only balm for ignorance and cruelty. I fully support the county working to end cyberbullying. Sadly, I do not believe the existing legislation will do so. I urge you to vote against the measure until necessary changes have occurred. Thank you for your time.
The last speaker signed up is Bob Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, members of the legislature, I've had an opportunity to speak to, I think, almost each and every one of you prior to tonight in support of this law that Ms. Gamir and I originally brought back from Albany to the county executive and asked him to consider. Why did we bring it back and ask the executive to consider it? After years and years of doing the work that I do as an assistant county attorney in family court and handling juvenile delinquency and PINS cases, I have found there to be case after case after case where children who are not attending school, who are afraid to go to school, who are the victims of other crimes, have the common link of cyberbullying underneath it all as the requisite offense. It oftentimes that would be pictures that have been circulated. The most vulnerable people that we have found, that I have found over the years of doing this job, are targeted either because of their sexual orientation. The LGBT people have been serious victims of this offense, as well as individuals have been targeted because of race, because of religion, and because of body shape. These are things that we must deal with. We have to deal with them. The law, as we have put it to you, I think there are some amongst you that view this as a zero-sum situation, that it must either be a law that's based upon protecting the perpetrator, and some of you feel that it has to be a law that's based upon protecting the victim. What I tell you what we have a law that does both, and that's what makes it a special law. This is a law that offers education for the individuals who have perpetrated this offense, and it offers protection for the individuals who are the victims of this offense. I would like to say that anyone who reviews this law will see that the law does not encroach on the turf of the school in any way. The concept that the school can handle all of these things, I think, is very short-sighted. In just in the obvious sense that if we're asking the school to solve all cyberbullying questions, then we're saying that when school's not in session, it's open season. Do what you want, get away with it, that's perfectly fine. There are some individuals here spoke tonight saying that there needed to be limitations on the private, unlimited access to the internet. And that's true. That's at the root of the problem. I think it's an impossible thing to solve. As long as we have a Fourth Amendment in this country and we're not going into people's homes without search warrants, that's something we simply can't address. We've worked hard to present you with a law that works. It's a law that protects victims. It's a law that educates perpetrators. The county is funding programs to give education to the perpetrators of these offenses. I also want to correct a few other things. I've heard the term criminalization. As it relates to juveniles, that is a ridiculous term for anyone here to use. It just shows that they simply don't understand the law. A person under 15 cannot be charged with a criminal offense. It's not criminalized behavior. It's juvenile delinquency behavior by definition. In addition to that, I know my time is up. So I could speak to you all for hours. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. And you have our numbers. Please call us if you have any questions. Thank you.
Before we close the public hearing, is there anybody else that'd like to be heard? If you come on up and you can lower the microphone, just state your name, please.
My name's Ayanna Marcico, and I'm in some way a victim of cyberbullying because somebody made this account online, and it was making fun of a whole bunch of kids at my school, and somebody blamed it on me and was spreading a whole bunch of rumors, and everybody believed it, even, like, my close friends. So I could have been sent to a juvenile detention center because the law says that I would before an investigation. I didn't write enough. So I guess that's it.
With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Hold on. We have that. It's going to be included in the correspondence that's on the agenda for the meeting every month that came to the legislature, and all the legislators received it via email. So it is part of the legislative record.
Have you seen this by email also?
Yeah. I didn't ask for that to be printed out, so. Yeah. I believe it was brought by the county attorney's office up here. It was not printed out by our office, Legislator Donaldson. But I'd be happy to put one of those in everybody's box. But we, you know, in our office, we have a policy to not waste more paper than we need to. So and that's what we do. That's not up to me. With that, there's a motion, you know, entertain a motion to adjourn, Legislator Litz. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.